Kirtanis daf is scrollim daf chof aleph or at the top of chof aleph amar aleph. Rabbi Yosa amar Rabbi Yochanan ba'i mahu shleim mshachar shleim ben arba'im or shleim mshachar who betela ben arba'im. You know, we said that when the Kohen Gadol dies, so you have to, the Yorshim or the community brings the entirety of the Asir Ta'ifa whole, as opposed to in halves. What we didn't say was, does that mean that they bring it all at once, or just that they have to bring it whole both times? Meaning, are you bringing a whole one in the morning and then not bringing it in the afternoon, or do you have to bring a whole one in the morning and a whole one in the afternoon? Kod tehe peshito le dichtiv minchat tamid shloshet lugin mahen shloshet lugin shachar shloshet lugin ben harbaim o lugumechta shachar lugumechta ben harbaim. Now, if you want to say that it's simple, that listen, you always need to bring the korban mincha in the morning and in the evening. Explicit pasuk for it, right? Yet you have to, right? So you can't have one just batel in the afternoon. Still, I have the question: how do you divide up the nesachim? Right, or the oil rather. How do you divide that up? Do you bring enough oil for both of them because you're bringing enough mincha for both of them, or do you bring the normal shear of oil for the morning and the normal shear of oil for the afternoon? So how does that work? Furthermore, Amar Rabbi Chizkia uf hadat tzricha le shnei kmatzin mahen shnei kmatzin b'shachar shnei kmatzin b'harbaim o komatz echad b'shachar komatz echad b'harbaim. So the same question by the Lavona. So do you bring the amount of Lavona that you normally bring with which each offering in the morning and the afternoon, or do you bring twice as much now? So Amar Rabbi Yosef kalum lamdu la komatz lo minchat chote mal halan shnei kmatzin afkan shnei kmatzin. Right, so we learn the comments of the Lavona from the the comments of Lavona by the Sira Ta'efa from the comments of Lavona for the Minchat Chote, right, for the sinner's Mincha, and there altogether you bring two, right? Everyone agrees on that. Altogether you bring two for the sinner's Mincha. So here too, altogether you should bring two, right? That's where we learn it from, and we should stick to it. No, that's really not a good svara, right? Just like we learned the oil from the mincha of the Kohen Gadol is learned out from the three lug of oil is learned out from the three lug of oil that we bring by the mincha of the tamid. The mincha of the tamid requires three log, so maybe I should say that this also requires a total of three log. But nonetheless, I'm still asking the question. Just like it's a question by the three log, it's a question by the Lavona. What that means to say is like this: that you're not answering the question. You're kind of trying to get around it, right? If you say, "But why by the mincha's Lavona, it's a total of two." Yeah, but that's exactly our question. Are we doing a full one in the morning and a full one in the afternoon? Or are we doing half and half? It doesn't help me to say, well, the source is two, and so it should be a total of two. Yeah, a total of two for each of them, or a total of two throughout the day. That's exactly our question. It doesn't answer our question. Rather, we still have both of our questions. Shelo yihye, right? So there's apparently a gzera, there shouldn't be me'ila by the ashes of the para aduma. Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachman b'shem Rabbi Yonatan b'din hayashim aluba v'hein gazru shaloyim aluba. Seems like on a Torah level it was supposed to be me'ila by using the ashes, and then Rabbanan came in and made gzera that there's no more me'ila. V'atani chatat melamed shem mo'ilin ba, ba mo'ilin v'ein mo'ilin ba'afra. But wait, didn't we learn at a Torah level that the fact that it says ba by the para aduma, ba specifically by the para in its full form, you get me'ila for. However, the ashes of the para aduma, it's a mute and it excludes the ashes of the para aduma. Meaning, on a Torah level, you shouldn't get me'ila for using the ashes. So, what's the stipulation of Beitin? Amar Rabbi Abao, Barishona hayu mishtakshin ba venotni nota al gebe makotehen vegazushim aluba. Kivan she nigduru gazru shaloyim aluba, right? Yeah, there was never a Torah problem with it, but the Rabbanan saw that people were misusing it. They were using the ashes to heal to put on their wounds, to soften them up, and that was not an appropriate use for them. So they made a gzera that there should be me'ila. Then they saw that people are more careful, they're being more careful. So the Gzeira did its job, and then they repealed the Gzeira and said, now there's no longer a Me'ila on it, right? So that also helps us conceptually with understanding how it would be that the rabbis would say that there is no Me'ila on something that the Torah says there would be. If the rabbis want to be more machmir, fine, but the Torah says there's Me'ila on it, the rabbis can say there wouldn't. No, the Torah says there's no Me'ila. The rabbis implemented Me'ila because they had a problem. The problem was resolved, and they repealed the Me'ila. Va'al hakinin. Okay, so the bird pairs. Ha'isha is obemayin kaperet. So when these with these bird pairs, if one of them is lost, how exactly does the woman get kapara? I'm Rabbi Yitzchak Tanai Beitin who amisabek etakinin who misabek etapsul etavdot. Right, that which we saw a couple of daf ago, that those who work with the Beit Hamikdash about bringing the bird pairs, if they're missing any at the end of the day, so they have to provide the extras. Hadran lach perek meot shenimtzu. Okay, just finished the seventh perek, and now we're on to the eighth and final perek of Shkolin. Kol harukin nintzayim b'Yerushalayim torin. If you find spit on the ground in Yerushalayim, it's presumed to be tahor and didn't convey tuma to you. Chut mi shuka elyon, except for in the upper marketplace in Yerushalayim. Divrei Meir from Meir Shita Rabbi Yosi Omer b'shar kol yimot hashana shebeemtza tmein shebitzadin tahorin b'shoda regel shebeemtza tahorin. Okay, so Rabbi Meir's Shita is like this. Sorry, Rabbi Yossi's Shita is like this. Normally, the middle of the road, if you find a spit, in the, then it's going to be Tameh. But on the side of the road, it's going to be Tahor. But during a regel, the opposite. The middle of the road is going to be Tahor, and the side of the road is going to be Tameh. Why? Because the Tameh, the minority scatter to the side. If the majority is Tahor, they're going to walk down the middle of the road, and the minority is going to go to the side and say, oh, well, let's not mess with them, let's not make them Tameh. If the majority of the people are Tameh, they're going to walk the middle of the road, and the Tahor people are going to avoid them, and they're going to walk to the sides of the road. So during the regal, most people are Tameh. So the middle of the road, if you find spit on the ground, it's going to be Tahor. Sorry, during the regal, most people are Tahor. So the middle of the road, anything you find on the ground should be Tahor. And on the side, it's going to be Tameh. Not during the regal, most people are Tameh. And that's so the middle of the road is going to be Tameh. Kol hakelim nimtzayim b'Yerushalayim derech yirida levet ha'tevila. Right, all vessels that you find in Yerushalayim, if you find them on the way down to a mikvah, you can presume that they're Tameh. Find them on the way up from the mikvah, you can assume that they're Tahor. Now, there are different paths. That's how you can differentiate. Shalok yuratan, liatan, right? Because there are different, you go down from different places, you go up. All Kalim and Yerushalayim are Tahor. Chutz min asal, v'magreif, v'macharit, v'yuchanin l'kvar. Except for the following three things. A basket, a shovel, and a hammer that are set aside for use for work in a graveyard. Sakin shenimtzeh be'arba asar. If you find a knife, right, we remember this from Sachem not too long ago. If you find a knife on the 14th of Nisan, shochet b'myad. You can presume that it was made tahor for the shechita, and you can just go ahead and use it. B'shloshasar, however, on the 13th, shona matzbil. You gotta immerse it again, because you can't assume that it was already made tahor on the 13th. Kofit, if you find a cleaver, bazeh u'bazeh shona matzbil. You gotta, you have to purify it, right? Because the cleaver you can't use until the 16th, right? Because you can't break the bones of the korban, right? So it has no use on the 15th, in which case you can't assume that it was purified by the 14th. So whether you find it on the 13th or the 14th, you can't use it. You have to purify it first. However, if the 14th of Nisan falls out on Shabbat, meaning the 15th is on Yom Rishon, so even though the reason you can't assume that the cleaver is Tahor generally is because you can't use a cleaver by the Korban Pesach because you can't break any of the bones. However, after the Korban is done, you can have use for the cleaver on the 15th, right? So if you have use for it on the 15th, you can assume that even by the 13th he may have purified it, because he would want it ready in time for Yom Rishon. Because you want to have it ready in time for Yom Rishon, and you can't do it on Shabbat, right? And then the Erev Shabbat is already the 13th. So in that case, you can assume that someone would have purified it on the 13th to have it on the 13th to have it ready for the 15th. B'chamishasar shochet ba miyad nimtza kshura lesakin harehi kesakin. And furthermore, if you found the cleaver on the 15th, then you can use it, because you assume that it was purified for the use of Yom Tov. And if you found it tied to a knife, then it goes by the status of the knife. Okay, the Gemara, Rabbi Avin b'shem Rabbi Shua ben Levi, in Katzor and Shonachrim Hayasham. The reason why the upper marketplace was considered to be a tamei place is because there was a non-Jewish butcher shop there. Am Rabbi Chanina Arudu tayu nochrin. Right? This is what they would catch and kill wild donkeys in the marketplace, and that's why it was non-Jews, and that's why that area was assumed to be tame. Am Rabbi Shua ben Leifi masa hayu nochrin arudot be istartia shel melech. It was a time when they were catching and killing wild donkeys in the king's army to feed to lions. Vayu ole regalim shtakin bedam ad arkutein. Right, and there was so much blood around that those who were going for the regalim were up to their knees in blood. Ubaul ifnei chachamim v'lo amru lovim davar. They came to the chachamim. The chachamim didn't say it was a problem. They didn't say that they were tamei for it. Rabbi Simon b'shem Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi masim b'firda Michel Beit Rabbi shemeta b'tira demea mishum devela. A similar teaching that we saw in the past that Rabbi Simon said in the name of Yeshua ben Levi that a certain donkey died in Rebbe's household, and they didn't say that they said that the blood was tahor, right? And so too here we see the blood is tahor, and the olei regalim don't have to be worried that the blood is tame, and they don't have to purify themselves again. Rabbi Lazar sha'ile the Rabbi Simon, the story that we saw earlier of lo agve. So Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Lazar sha'ile Rabbi Simon ad kama. So Rabbi Lazar asked Rabbi Simon until how much? Do we assume that there's a minimum shear or maximum shear? How much can we assume is going to be tahor before we start calling it tame? He didn't answer. Sha'ile Rabbi Shuvin Levi, as Shuvin Levi, I'm really at Ravid Tower, right? Until Ravid, it's considered Tower. Yosha Mitan Tame. But more than Ravid, that's going to be Tame. Ubaish Rabbi Lazar, the Lo Chater, like Rabbi Simon, Shimuata. And he was upset. Rabbi Lazar was upset that Rabbi Simon never responded to his question. Rabbi Bibi Hava Yativ Matne Hadin Uvda. So Rabbi Bibi was telling over this story. Amalei Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Kinsa, Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Bizna said to him, Ad Kama, until how much? Ad Ravid Tahor Yoter Mikan Tame, right? He said, what, oh, is that to assume that only Ravit is Tahor, but more than that is Tameh? How exactly do we hold there? But Rabbi didn't pay any attention to him. He kind of just he kind of turned the other way. Amar le Rabbi Zreka, begin to have a sha'ilach ad bayit be. What, he asked you a simple question and you're going to turn the other way? You're going to be frustrated with him? Amar le, begin to lo have a dati be. No. He misunderstood my gesture. I was preoccupied with something else. The Amar Rabbi Chanin, I was preoccupied with that which I heard from Rabbi Chanin, which is the following. Right? That your life hangs in the balance. That's someone who doesn't have his own farm, doesn't have his own field. Rather, he buys wheat on a yearly basis. Right, that you're going to be afraid day and night. That's someone who buys their wheat from a merchant. You shouldn't be confident in your own life. Right, that's someone who buys bread. He doesn't just buy wheat from a salesperson. He actually buys bread daily from the salesperson. And I buy daily bread from the palter. So I clearly have a reason to be concerned. I was preoccupied. That's why I didn't answer him. Man kidun. Now, okay. So how do we pass again? Hey, Darbi Shuv ben Abtora al Dam Nevela. Right, we conclude that Dam Nevela is Pater. Is not Tame. Mahu Tahor. Now, what does it mean that it's Tahor? Tahor milhachshir halitama mitame. Meaning, it can't render something susceptible to contract tuba, right? We spoke about this in the past, that different liquids, there are seven different liquids that can make something susceptible to contract tuma. One thing that just touches a tame thing, doesn't mean it's tame. It needs to be susceptible to contract tuba. It needs to have one of these liquids on it, right? So what we mean, then the blood doesn't convey tuma. The blood does convey tuma. It just doesn't make something susceptible to convey tuma as normal blood would, right? Taman Tanainan, boy, 1 second. Didn't we learn over there in the Braita, Dam Hasheretz Kivisra Matamaveno Machshirein Lokiyotabo, right? That the Dam Hasheretz is unique because the blood of a Sheretz conveys tuma, but it doesn't make something susceptible to tuma, right? The blood of the Sheretz is like the flesh of the Sheretz, that it can convey tuma to something, but can't make something susceptible to contract tuma. And we taught that nothing else is like that. So if you want to tell me now that the blood of a nevela is the same exact way, that it can't make something susceptible to contract tuma, but it can make something tame, then we do have something like the blood of a Sheretz. What we meant when we have nothing else like it is that by the sheretz the blood and the flesh convey tuma in the same minuscule amount. It's the same exact shi'ur, right, that conveys tuma. That's what's unique. So by the nevela, it's not the same shi'ur that would convey tuma by the flesh and by the blood. It's not the same measurement. You need more blood than flesh to convey the tuma, right? However, they are similar in the way that they both convey but don't make something susceptible, they're dissimilar in that the sheretz blood needs significantly less of it than the nevela blood. Amar Rabbi Yosa Pligi ba train Amorayin. There are two Amorayim have a machloket about this. Chad Amar Tameh v'chad Amar Tahor. Manda Amar Tameh Rabbi Yehuda. Manda Amar Tahor Rabbi Shua ben Petora. One who says Tahor holds like Rabbi Petora, and one who says Tameh holds like Rabbi Yehuda. Amar Le'Rav Avdumi Demin Nechuta V'Yaut Rabbi Yehuda Moraina Debein Asiya Hava. Makes a lot of sense because Rabbi Yehuda was the posek for the Nasi's household, and who was originally paskin about the mule found in Rebbe's house that it was going to be tahor. So understandably, he's the one that holds that the blood is tahor. Kol Arukin, okay, so we spoke of the spit. The marketplace, Lokain, Amar Rabbi Abahu, B'Shem Rabbi Yosi ben Chanina, Lo Gazru al Arukin, Shibushalayim. Didn't we learn that they never made such a gzeira about the spit in Yerushalayim? Ha Itmar Aleh, Rabbi Avin, B'Shem Rabbi Shua ben Levi, Katzor Shon Nachrim, Hayasham. Yeah, in general in Yerushalayim, it's tahor. However, there's a butcher in that upper marketplace that we have to consider it tame. B'Shem Otashana, Hatmein Mahalchin, Shiborad, Vator Mahalchin, Minatzad, Mahalchin Stam, Hatmeh Mahalchin Stam, Vatorin, Omrin Lehem, Pirshu, Mishad, Haregula, Tahorin Mahalchin Shipolet, Vatmeh Mahalchin Minatzad, Hatahorin Mahalchin Stam, Vatmeim Omrin Lehem Proshu. Right, so this is how it would work generally. Normally, during the year, the Tameim would walk in the middle and the Tahorim would walk on the sides because they were in the minority. And the Tameim would walk and they wouldn't say anything, but the Tahorim would say, hey, we're Tahor, stay away from us. Then during the Regel, the Tahorim would walk in the middle and the Tameim would walk on the side. The Tahorim would just kind of walk and everyone assumed that they were Tahor. And the Tameim would say, hey, be careful, don't touch me, I'm Tameh. The kola came in the time. So he said the vessels found are considered tahor unless they're on the way down to the mikvah. Okay, now Rabbi Abba, B'Shem Rabbi Yochanan, Lo Gazru L'Kelim B'Shem. Don't we know that the kelim in Yerushalayim are never considered tameh? Wasn't there such a gzera, right? Or that there was never a gzera by the kelim? They should always be considered tahor. Sorry, I said tameh. The kelim in Yerushalayim are always considered tahor. They should not be considered tameh. Don't we know that? How are we then saying that these kelim on the way down to the mikvah are tameh? Meaning, yeah, but they're on their way down to the mikvah. Why do you think they're going there? They're going there to be mitahir them, right? So their location really testifies about them, that they are, in fact, tameh. Abba Shaul haya kore otan tziporin. So Abba Shaul, just a commentary on the specific kalim that we said are always considered tameh, the hammer and the basket of and the shovel of the graveyard. So Abba Shaul called them a fingernail, right? Because that's how they were shaped. Mandam or tziporin, chahadom el tziporin. The one who calls them the fingernails because they're shaped, curved like a fingernail. Mandam or maritza. And those who call them a maritza, a crusher, shemaritza eta evin lebeit hakvar, because they would crush the stones in the way of when you were digging a grave. Kofit, so he talks about a meat cleaver. Tani hasakin kshura la harezo kamota. Right, so we taught basically the opposite of what we taught in the Mishnah in a Braita. The Braita says that if you find a knife tied to a cleaver, you have to assume the knife is like the cleaver. Our Mishnah taught that you have to assume the cleaver is like the knife, meaning tahor. But here we teach that you have to assume the knife is like the cleaver in that it's tameh. New Mishnah. Parochet shenitma bivlad hatuma. If the curtain separating the Aron and the Kodesh HaKadoshim became tameh with a vlad hatuma, right? A second degree of tuma. Matbilin ota bifnim. Machlizin ota miyad. Right? So you can bring it to the mikvah within the Beit HaMikdash, within the courtyard of the Beit HaMikdash, and then bring it right back to the Beit HaMikdash. Vishenitma ba'av hatuma, however, if it contracts tuma with an av hatuma, matbilin ota bichut, you have to bring it outside the Beit HaMikdash to bring it to the mikvah. Then you hang it up in the chayil to dry. Because it requires, it needs to be left out for the evening. Left out until the evening comes before it's considered tahor. If it was new, right? If it was a new parochet, then you should hang it out on the rooftops so that everyone can see that everyone can see the new work that was done and all the you know the really nice handiwork that was done for the Beit HaMikdash. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer Mishum Rabbi Shimon Ben Asgan Parochet Ovya Tefach. The thickness of the parochet was a tefach. Al Shivim V'Shtaim Nimin Nerget. Nareget, right? And it was woven over 72 stitches thick. Alkein nima v'nima esrim v'arba chutin, right? Each stitch was 24 threads thick. Arka arba'im aba. The length was 40 amot v'rochba esri, and the width was 20 amot. U'mishmoni mishtaim ribo haita nasi, and it was made from the value of 820,000 gold dinarim, right? That's how expensive it was. Shteim osim b'chol shana, they make two every single year. V'shlosh me'ot kohanim at bilam tzad. Take 300 kohanim just to dip it in the mikvah. Idu amar chut. Okay, so this is how we get the measurements for the parochet, and how many strings were used. If the Torah just would have said chut, a string, echad, I would have assumed that you use one thread to make the one thread thick to make the parochet. Kaful l'shnaim. If it would have said kaful, then folded, I would have assumed the two, you know, one and then folded in half. Shazur l'shlosha. If it would have said twisted, then I would have used three threads. Moshzar l'shisha. And if it said moshzar, which is double shazur, then I would have used six threads. Arba, there are four types of materials used, right? Turquoise, purple, scarlet, and linen, right? And those four types. So you need basically a six of moshzar. The Torah uses the word moshzar. So I know I need six strings of all four of these. Mikan ha'asrim arba. So that's how I know I have 24 different strings that I need to use in the stitches. Dani shloshim shtayim. Alternatively, you could say that really that you need 32 strings. Ilu amar chut, right? Different variety of thought. Then you need 32 strings for each of the stitches. Ilu amar chut, echad, kaful, shnayim, shazur, arba, moshzar, shmona. Right? Because if it would have said string, I would have said one. Kaful, and if it said double, folded over, I would have said two. If it would have said shazur, it needs to be twisted, I would have assumed four, and then moshzar would be eight. Arba, the four different types of materials. Mikan hat levdrin, and then so that's four times eight. That's 32. Tana arimishmona. Different price of thought that actually you need 48 strings in every stitch. Ilu amar chut. If it would have said chut, if the Torah would have said chut chad kaful shnayim. Klia shlosha. So if it said two, if it would have said kaful, I would have needed two strings. If it would have said klia braided, then I would assume it needs three strings. Shazur shisha. And if it said shazur, I would have assumed that I need six strings. Moshzar l'shnemasar, right? And then moshzar is double shazur, so that is shnemasar. So that's going to be 12. Arba, there are four different types of materials. Mikan ha'arba imitimnia, right? And that's how you get to 48. Ketuv echad omer maser okem. One pasuk says that the parochet was a maaseh rokeim, which is an embroidered cloth. One says that it's a designed cloth. Maaseh rokeim partzuf echad, maaseh choshev shnei partzufim. So what's an embroidered cloth? An embroidered cloth is where you have kind of the picture on one side, and then the back is just, you know, all the other side. So it doesn't really look like anything, right? However, a designed cloth is when it has a face on both sides, right? The picture is the exact same on both sides. Rabbi Yehuda v'Rabbi Nechemia chad amar maseh rokeim ari mikan v'chalak mikan v'maseh choshev ari mikan v'ari mikan, right? Maseh rokeim v'charna amar maseh rokeim ari mikan v'ari mikan maseh choshev ari mikan v'neshe mikan. Right, so one says that actually, so this is a machloket as to what this is. One says that what's maseh rokeim, or maseh rokeim is where you have a line on one side and you have nothing on the other side. And then a maseh choshev is a lion on one side and a lion on the other side. Right, that's the difference between rokeim and choshev, right? Whether you have the face just on one side and nothing on the back, or the face on both sides, the picture on both sides. And the other opinion says, no, actually the maseh rokeim is when you have a lion on one side and a lion on the other side, but it's the same picture. The maseh choshev is when you have a lion on one side and an eagle on the other side. Totally different picture. Mishmonim v'shtayim ribo haita nasit. So it was made from 82,000 gold dinars. Rabbi Yitzchak bar Bizna b'shem Mishmuel guzma. So he said that's an exaggeration. It was expensive, but it was an exaggeration. Tamam tani, and we learned in the Mishnah, pamim haya aleya kishalosh meot kur. Rabbi Yosef be Rabbi Bun b'shem Shmuel guzma. And so another teaching is that sometimes this parochet, sorry, not the parochet, sometimes the mizbeach had 300 kor of ashes on it from all the korbanot that they brought that day. But similarly, Rabbi Bun said in the name of Rabbi Shmuel, that also is an exaggeration. Okay, we'll stop here.